It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner, PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Houston, we have... No, I can't do that. That would be just godforsaken awful. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. The Rockets come away with their second loss in a row at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder, 117-114, really 117-111, seeing as how Daniel House Jr. threw up a prayer at the end of regulation that may or may not even count moving forward as the NBA goes back to review it, but 117-114, technically, the actual final score. And man, this game was not great. And so here's the difference between the loss in Game 3 and the loss in Game 4, right? There were some silver linings in the loss in Game 3 because you're up 2-0. Maybe, you know, OKC's playing with a bit more of an edge over you because they're down 0-2 now. And, you know, all the momentum's in your favor in the series. And you still had a really bad game in Game 3, and you still made it a game all the way up until, you know, almost the final buzzer, and then pushing it to OT, right? So, as poorly as they played, now in this one, the Rockets really didn't have a bad game, you know, offensively. They had a really sound offensive outing. Where they struggled was containing the Thunder. They struggled containing the Thunder. They struggled with fouls. There was a large discrepancy in the free throw department, which we will definitely talk about. There were just a lot of areas that they did not perform their best in. Even though they were plus 36 at the three-point line, it didn't matter. Even though they shot 39.7% as a team, it didn't matter because they didn't hit the shots that they needed to when they needed to actually put points on the board. And that's the painful thing. That's, you know, watching this team crumble down the stretch of games, which really they in this game specifically, the Rockets kind of fell apart at the end of every single quarter. They fell apart at the end of the second quarter, headed into halftime. They fell apart at the end of the third quarter, and they unraveled and fell apart at the end of the fourth quarter. Something about this team, they're losing their composure as the quarter wears on. And maybe it's just specifically this game, but it didn't really feel like they stayed disciplined throughout a quarter. And especially in that fourth quarter, man, they completely bought into that mantra of, you know, live by the three, die by the three. So I'll talk more about this. Let's just run over the stats just very generally, very quickly. James Harden, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 15 assists. James was passing the ball very well in this game. He was, you know, pretty much the only one who could pass the ball in this game. You know, notched a very quiet 15 assists. I don't remember it being mentioned once during the actual broadcast how well James Harden was facilitating for his teammates. So 15 assists, had 4 steals, did have 6 turnovers, just 11 of 25 shooting, 6 of 15 from behind the arc, and some very questionable decision-making down the stretch of the game and kind of throughout that fourth quarter, unfortunately. Eric Gordon, 23 points on 8 of 15 shooting. Daniel House Jr., 21 points on 8 of 15 shooting as well, 4 of 10 from behind the three-point arc, 6 rebounds, had the one rebound that he, you know, kind of tipped around and really fought for that resulted in James Harden getting ripped at the end of that possession, but still just, you know, some great hustle and energy effort plays from Daniel House Jr. that, you know, those are winning basketball plays. Even though it didn't lead to winning in this game, that type of hustle and play leads to winning basketball. It creates winning basketball. Robert Covington, 14 points, 4 of 8 shooting from downtown. PJ Tucker, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 3 of 8 shooting from downtown. And then Jeff Green was pretty much the only bench player that got any significant extended run. 10 points, 2 of 6 3-point shooting, 5 boards, had a handful of assists. And then Ben McLemore, just 9 minutes, only hit the 1-3. And then Austin Rivers, 15 minutes with no points contributed, only 1 3-point attempt, only 2 shot attempts in total. Just not a... pretty much zip, zilch, nada from Ben McLemore and Austin Rivers, which, as I will get to, I don't think is their fault. So, on the Thunder side of things, Dennis Schroeder had himself a game, 30 points, 10 of 16 shooting, 4 of 7 from behind the arc, really torched the Rockets, getting to the rim at will, pretty much it felt like. And then Chris Paul had himself a pretty huge night, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 10 of 19 shooting, missed all 5 of his 3-pointers, but that just means the man was 10 of 14 from inside the arc. He pretty much could not miss. He was unconscious. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 18 points, 7 of 17 shooting, had 12 rebounds, a team-high 12 rebounds. And then Lu Dort, 9 points, hit 3 3-pointers, 3 of 9 3-point shooting, which they will absolutely take that out of him, and had some really stellar defense again on James Harden. So I want to talk about how this game, how I felt it unraveled and where the biggest issues were. But above all else, what this means now is this is a series. This is a 2-2 series now, and maybe in my most recent podcast, I got a little greedy, right? My original prediction was Rockets in 6, and I definitely thought they were going to lose a couple close ones against OKC. You don't win, you don't go 30-15 in, you know, crunch time games, you know, clutch time situation games as the Thunder throughout the course of the season. You know, more crunch time wins than any other team in the association, you know, by a mile. You don't do that as the Thunder and then not expect to have a couple games against them in the playoffs without Russell Westbrook, your second best player, and not expect some of those games to go down to the wire. It just really stings because the execution down the stretch from the Thunder, they have been disciplined and they haven't lost control of the game down the stretch of game 3 or game 4. So they have been poised, they have played well, and that's the trademark of a Chris Paul-led team down the stretch of a game. On the flip side, things for the Rockets, even though they've had some situations that they could have taken advantage of, both at the ends of games 3 and 4 now, they have botched them. And regrettably, that is a conversation that we're going to have about James Harden and about finishing games off. I'm not going to say he's a choker. I'm not going that far. But there's something off there where he's not stepping up right there at the end when he needs to. And in this one, I have a pretty logical reason as to why. And we'll talk about that here in just one moment after a quick word from our friends over at CBDMD. Doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 to 9 hours a day in a super-duper uncomfortable office chair, everyone, and I mean everyone, needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends over at CBDMD have an amazing duo of topicals that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets just a teensy bit too chaotic. So CBD Freeze with Menthol is this award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or even a shareable squeeze tube, while CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. To make things even easier to try this amazing duo and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use promo code MBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code MBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you're not already doing so, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button so that you get the podcast as soon as possible on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, even before I start talking about it all over social media. So, Rockets lose this game 117-114, and they had ample opportunities to take the lead, to maintain the lead down the stretch. Now, I do think that offensively, that wasn't an issue in this game. You know, these games have ebbs and flows, right? You know, peaks and valleys. And sometimes with the Rockets' three-point shooting, because of how heavy they are, because of how heavily they rely on that three-point shot, sometimes they hit really awesome stretches, like the beginning of the third quarter, where they exploded from behind the arc and hit their first 8 three-point attempts of the third quarter. They hit the turbo nuclear button, right? They suddenly were supernova hot from behind the arc, and then they just proceeded to miss everything that they were throwing up there. And that's live by the three, die by the three. You got really, really hot, and then suddenly you couldn't make a damn thing. And when the shots mattered the most, they couldn't get them to go in. So this goes back to the old argument that I've constantly thrown out there, where when you just need a bucket, take an open shot. Generate a good open shot, and generate one that is a high percentage shot. And this is the argument that I have, right? A 45% two-pointer has a better chance to go in than a 33 to 35% three-pointer. I don't care about points per possession. I don't care about efficiency. You need to just keep the scoreboard moving. That's what the Thunder did. That's what the Rockets did not do. And that's why the Rockets lost this game. Here's the silver lining, right? The Rockets have a guy that is very capable of hitting a large amount of two-point shots, both from mid-range and directly at the cup. And he is sitting in a glass box waiting to be busted out for Game 5. And I think that now that the series is 2-2, it's a best of three series now. You got to go out there and win two games, ideally just win the next two games. And Russell Westbrook is absolutely going to be a part of that. There is no question in my mind that Russell Westbrook will absolutely play Game 5 based on the footage that we've seen of him coming out of practices, the way that he's looked, everything coming out of the organization. He probably could have played Game 4, but because the Rockets were still up 2-1, they gambled. NBA gambled, the medical staff gambled. They said, you know what, we're going to hold Russ out, we're going to try and get him that extended rest, and if he can be good to go, you know, if the Rockets can squeeze away a Game 4 victory, then, you know, maybe knock out the Thunder in 5 instead, then Russ gets to continue his rest and be ready to go for a potential Lakers series. So they need to just keep putting points on the board. And they have a guy who's currently wrapped in bubble wrap on the sidelines who's very good at that. And so him coming back completely eases my worries about two things. About the lack of production when Harden is on the bench, the droughts they kind of go through, as well as the droughts that happen when he's on the court. I know that we get frustrated at times watching Russ, you know, attempt his mid-range jumpers and drive to the rim and, you know, potentially, you know, miss a bunny right at the rim. But I'd rather have those chances, those high percentage looks right at the rim, you know, those 60, 70% shot attempts. You know, rather than constantly throwing up three-pointers throughout the course of a fourth quarter where the Rockets wound up shooting, what was it, across the fourth quarter? 4 of 19 from behind the arc in the fourth quarter. Really, we're going to go 3 of 18, or even better yet, we'll go 2 of 17 because James Harden hit one at the very tail end of the fourth quarter to try and pull the game back within reach, and then Daniel House hit the prayer at the end of regulation. So really, we'll say 2 of 17 three-point shooting across that entire quarter. So, and this is where it comes boils down to is the Rockets' mantra of threes, layups, and dunks is great when you don't forget about the layups and dunks portion. Because I will highlight the fact that when Daniel House drove to the basket in the fourth quarter, he got fouled and he had an and one opportunity and he hit the free throw. The couple times that James Harden went to the basket, the first two times that he went to the basket in the fourth quarter, layups right at the rim. Eventually, he missed kind of a floater teardrop shot, but that one also wasn't like the best, cleanest look. But there was a distinct lack of initiative from James Harden, I felt like, in the beginning of the fourth, but I'm going to attribute it to something, and this is not me making an excuse for James Harden. He made some really piss-poor decisions down the stretch of this game, and he is very much going to be held accountable for that. But Mike D'Antoni's decision to put James Harden and PJ Tucker back into the game after they both received minimal rest on the sideline, they sat for, I think it was 66 seconds, if I'm not mistaken, a little over a minute, which is basically a timeout. They sat for 66 seconds, and then he throws Harden back into the game because he hits the panic button because the Rockets' lead was slowly evaporating, or quickly evaporating, however you want to look at it. The 15-point lead that they built up was going away. And rather than trust the bench guys who had played really well across the first couple games of the series and then kind of struggled in Game 3 a little bit, rather than trust that unit, trusting Eric Gordon, trusting the guys out there on the court to get the job done offensively, he falls back to plan A, throws James Harden back out there with no rest, and Harden proceeds to play really poorly over the next 4 to 6 or 7 minutes. He was gassed, man. You can, and some people, you know, were in my mentions on Twitter saying, well, you know, NBA players sometimes play the entire second half, no problem. Yeah, sure. Sometimes. And sometimes it goes great. And other times they don't have their legs under them. They haven't gotten their regular rest. They are exhausted. They're not 2K players. They need a breather. And so James Harden is out there, and that's why he was being so passive at the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter. That's why he wasn't driving. Imagine having Lu Dort, linebacker-sized Lu Dort, all 220 pounds and 6 foot 3 inches of him, tucked inside your jersey for the entire, you know, the entire time that you're out there on the court, constantly like pushing into Harden's rib cage on every single lineup, on every single out-of-bounds play, just leaning into him. Imagining that over the course of an entire game, that will wear you the hell out. And so James Harden was probably gassed by that point. And even though there was a stretch where Lu Dort wasn't out there, that is my issue with Harden, is there was the period of time where Lu Dort was not out there and James Harden did not take advantage of those opportunities. There was a very small stretch of time in that game where Lu Dort had his fifth foul, had to sit down, and James Harden had his pick of which OKC Thunder player he wanted to burn one-on-one and just didn't take advantage of that opportunity. In the fourth quarter specifically, James Harden had just, 7 points on 3 of 7 shooting, 1 of 4 from behind the arc. He also had 2 turnovers, 2 very critical turnovers, one where he tried to pass the ball where there was a miscommunication between he and Eric Gordon, where he had the eye connection, but Eric Gordon misread the situation, and James just threw the ball straight out of bounds. And then the one at the very tail end of regulation is the Rockets were only trailing by 1 point with about 48 seconds left to go, and Harden throws a half-court pass to Eric Gordon that Gallinari just plucks right out of the air. Just terrible decision-making to wrap up the game in the fourth quarter. And I get it. He was probably exhausted. 43 minutes played. The intensity of small ball, the toll it takes on his body, the toll that, you know, battling with Lu Dort for an entire 43 minutes or you know, a huge chunk of that game would take on him. I get all that. But he needed to be the guy to step up. And he wasn't. And some of the decision-making by Mike D'Antoni, you know, the rotations, the decisions to, you know, not have Robert Covington out there at certain points throughout the game, the decision to only play Ben McLemore for the limited minutes that he got, when if the offensive game plan is to continue to shoot up that many three-pointers, then, you know, let Ben McLemore get a little bit of run in the second half. You know, some of those three-pointers that James Harden attempted on empty legs would have been better serviced coming from Ben McLemore or even Austin Rivers. You know, rather than Harden being forced to hoist up a three-point attempt at the tail end of the shot clock, you know, 4 seconds, 5 seconds left, you know, out there 30 feet away from the basket, having to throw up those really awful three-point attempts, rather than forcing him into those shots, have somebody out there that can actually attempt a shot. Have somebody out there that's got a quick trigger or that can create for themselves. Eric Gordon did a much better job in this game of picking and choosing his battles offensively. 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 8 from downtown, but in those moments, it really felt like OKC's defense really locked in and forced Harden into those terrible shots. And it also felt like a little bit that Harden was settling for those shots, because again, he was not aggressive in that fourth quarter driving to the rim until about halfway through the quarter. He finally had a couple drives towards the rim. And, you know, when he drove, good things happened. When he settled, bad things happened. They missed shots. And OKC was continuing to put points on the board. Coming up, have the final segment here in just a moment. We'll wrap things up. We'll talk about some other points from this game. I do have a few more things I want to hit on. But first, a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. One of the main reasons to repair your car yourself is to save money. Money that you can then use for other important things like your mortgage or food or your rent payment, what have you. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or even a brand new car dealership? Look, at rockauto.com, they're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything, and I mean everything, that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the exact same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Again, why would you want to spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, don't forget this step, do me a favor, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, as well as the show at Locked On Rockets, to keep up to date with all the news and information that this show puts out on a daily basis all throughout the week. I don't want to completely come away with negative feelings from this podcast. I don't want anybody to be doom and gloom heading into the next game, because here's the thing, right? The Rockets have been without their second best player, Russell Westbrook, who is the guy who, albeit in a different fashion than Chris Paul, is the guy that is the antidote for what we saw at the end of that fourth quarter. We saw a very gassed team. We saw a six-man rotation, a very gassed team who just didn't have the energy left to put up a fight in that quarter. James Harden was gassed. Everybody else looked a little bit gassed. Defensively, they couldn't keep up. And when they needed just one or two buckets to go, they were settling for three-pointers, albeit some of them were good looks, but they were settling for threes with dead legs. And you know there's a guy out there waiting on the sideline who doesn't settle and who's going to, as long as he comes back and plays like the Russ that we know he can play like, he is going to be a dominant force that the Thunder will have no answer for inside. Because right now, their best answer for James Harden has been to run Gallo at the five, Dort guards Harden, and then they run out their three-guard lineup. If they do that, who is going to check Russell Westbrook? Nobody out there. Chris Paul can't hold him. SGA can't hold him. Schroeder definitely can't hold him. And Gallinari absolutely can't hold him. So the Thunder are going to be forced to have Steven Adams out there to kind of clog up the middle a little bit for Russ's drives. And then past that, that gives them two non-shooters offensively. So that's going to shrink the floor for them. That's going to do wonders for the Rockets from a matchup standpoint, having Russ out there as the secondary ball handler, as the guy who can then attack when, you know, Lu Dort is focused so much on James Harden. But moving into the next game and just kind of looking at some of the other aspects from this game, defensively, it is about slowing down Dennis Schroeder. He has lit them up the last two games in a row, and I think Austin Rivers needs more burn. Austin Rivers' minutes need to match up with Schroeder. Because, and here's the thing, is Schroeder and both SGA have this weird, like, they have such a wind-up time on their threes that they're able to kind of pump fake into a three, and it's really hard to tell if they're actually going to shoot the ball or if they're pump faking, and they both got a couple different rockets throughout the game, you know, off their feet and into the air and fouled on three-point shot attempts because of that really long pump fake that they have. And so I do think that just Austin Rivers is one of the better IQ defenders on the Rockets, and he's the only guy I think that's fast enough. Also, Eric Gordon can as well, but Gordon's been checking Paul for the most part. So, you know, Rivers and Gordon need to be the two guys on Schroeder. And what we're seeing, though, is the Rockets, with their content to switch everything defense, what we're seeing is matchups where it's PJ Tucker or Robert Covington or James Harden guarding Schroeder, and he is having his way with them. When it comes to those three guys on Schroeder, he is blowing by them every single time. They just don't have the lateral quickness to keep up with him. He's got that explosive first step, and he gets to the rim at will. Or he just, you know, he causes enough worry. You have to sag far enough off of him because of the worry about him driving to the rim that then he's able to kind of dribble you down for the long two or just go straight up into a three-point shot. He hit 4 3-pointers. That was 12 of his 30 points was off of threes. So Dennis Schroeder absolutely needs to be slowed down in game five. And, you know, a guy who can check him one-on-one is Russell Westbrook. Westbrook isn't a phenomenal, you know, defensive guy when it comes to IQ, but he's got the physical tools to absolutely keep Dennis Schroeder in front of him. And so I'm optimistic about Russ playing in game five and what that matchup is going to look like between those two guys. But Russ brings you intensity, he brings you energy, and, you know, there's a lot of different things that Russ brings you from just like a leadership standpoint where he's going to go down swinging. And I really feel like James Harden settled so much at the end of that game, you know, whereas Russ would have seen that, you know, driving to the rim was the only way to get points going, that the shots weren't falling, and he would have taken the ball and just barreled his way to the rim for better or for worse. And I'd rather ride with that than settling for 30-foot jump shots that are, you know, flat-footed and dead-legged three-pointers from 25 to 30 feet out. Those are not great. Those aren't going to win you basketball games. So Russ coming back for game five, not certain yet. It's not announced yet, but I'd be hard pressed to imagine that he doesn't come back for game five. And looking at this series now, it's set up for Russ to come back and be the hero for the Rockets. You know, he comes back and suddenly he can right the ship. He cures a lot of their ailments, and it also will extend the bench a little bit. You know, it will allow one of Daniel House Jr. or Eric Gordon to then come off the bench and kind of spread the minutes out. Because again, MDA basically going a six-man rotation in this loss. You know, and that's painful to see just six guys out there. Ben McLemore only getting 9 minutes. Rivers with just 15 minutes. Again, I do think Austin Rivers deserves more time because defensively, look, offensively, you were fine in this one. 23 of 58 three-point shooting, 39.7%. You were fine. You put more than enough points on the board to win this one. You just gave up too many points to the Thunder. And here will be the final point, right, is so many people are going to want to point to the free throw discrepancy. And for good reason. The officiating in Game 3 was pretty subpar. The officiating in Game 4 was just very abysmal. The officiating has not been great two games in a row. And specifically in this one, headed into halftime, you had the James Harden three-pointer that Tony Brothers waved off and ruled a travel. The three-pointer that hasn't been a travel for years now. The gather step and the three-point shot that James Harden, you know, hits on a consistent basis. Tony Brothers waved it off. So that one definitely sucked and was super sketchy. So there's that. And there's also the fact that the free throw discrepancy was 28 to 10. At one point, you know, through the fourth quarter, the Rockets hadn't shot a free throw since midway through the second or something along those lines. And that is some one-sided officiating, absolutely. But a lot, and this is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot on Rockets Twitter, right? How we should be able to discuss two things. We should be able to discuss the Rockets having a bad game, and we should be able to discuss the free throw shooting or the lack of calls going the Rockets' way. Let's put it that way. I'm in agreement there. I do agree. We should be able to talk about two things. And so that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to talk about, yeah, the Rockets may have gotten shafted a little bit in the officiating department. Sure, you can make that argument. I'm going to make the argument that the Rockets were not aggressive enough offensively, and they were not looking to drive with the intent to finish at the rim. They were not looking to drive with the intent to finish through contact, because so many of the Rockets' drives are with the intent to drive in and kick the ball back out for an open three-point look. That is, more often than not, James Harden's MO when he's driving to the basket, especially as Lu Dort is pushing him more east to west and he's not able to get directly to the cup like he's used to. When you're getting pushed out of the paint and you're not able to finish directly at the rim, James is being forced to pass out of those situations quite a bit more. Eric Gordon being forced to pass out of those situations quite a bit more. If those guys go to the rim with the intent to finish, and here's, look, I know it sucks to see the Rockets drive to the rim to get, you know, to receive some contact and to not get a foul call. You know, you see James Harden throw his hands up. You see Eric Gordon throw his hands up thinking that, you know, the foul call should be there. Yeah, but let's face it. They're not getting absolutely clobbered going to the rim. They're not getting hacked. They're getting it's not as little as incidental contact. They're receiving contact, and they absolutely could be foul calls when they've gone to the rim and not received a favorable whistle. But you just have to look to power through that. I'm sorry, you cannot look to the officials to think, okay, like, you know, I got hit, where's my foul call? No, that cannot be the expectation. The expectation is try to finish the shot, get to the rim, be aggressive, try to make your buckets, and then if you get an and one opportunity because the ball goes in, great. If you're getting two free throws because you got hacked and the ball doesn't go in, also great. But that aggressive mentality will pay off over the course of a game. So you want to talk about the free throw discrepancy, the 28 to 10? I will accept that a chunk of those free throws are definitely one-sided refereeing bias. Sure, we can make that argument. I'm also going to make the argument that a chunk of those free throws are also because of lack of intensity or lack of desire to drive to the rim with the intent to finish through contact, with the intent to create contact even. James Harden is one of the best guys in the league at driving to the rim, creating contact, and forcing the referee to blow the whistle. How many times did we see him drive in the fourth quarter? Very few. Why did the Rockets go away from the James Harden, Jeff Green screen roll? Why? It has been so effective throughout the series, and yet it felt like they used it, what, once or twice in the fourth quarter? And in fact, one of the times that they did use it, Jeff Green rolled to the basket and got 2 points off of it. So why did they go away from that? It's been the bread and butter through three games without Russell Westbrook around. Why would you navigate away from what has been working for you, for what's been effective? And that comes down to decision-making. That comes down to lack of basketball IQ by James Harden out there on the court. And it's frustrating because this team should have won, because this team is the better team. The Rockets are undoubtedly the better team between themselves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are the team that should make it to the second round. And it's frustrating because you're sitting here and you came up so close in games 3 and 4, and now the series is dead even at two games apiece. You had such commanding wins in games 1 and 2, and then came up just a little bit short in games 3 and 4. That's why it hurts. That's why it's frustrating. Because you could have been up 3-1, or potentially even have, you know, wrapped up the series in this game 4. You know, a quick 4 out, get Russell Westbrook all that extra rest. But we're past that. It's not happening now. So now we're on to game 5. Russell Westbrook more than likely coming back. I would be shocked and appalled if Russell Westbrook does not play in game 5. So it needs to be on the defensive end of the basketball. We need to see the same defensive intensity that we saw in games 1 and 2. That, you know, whatever settings they need to tune up to bring back that level of intensity, that's what they need in game 5. They need to come out with an aggressive mentality, an aggressive edge, and I think Russ brings some of that. When Russ comes back, he will bring that aggressive edge. He will bring that do or die mentality, that, you know, I guess it's fitting on, you know, 8-24. He'll bring the mama mentality with him. I felt like the Rockets weren't aggressive enough there in the tail end of the game, and Russ will bring that with him in game 5. Should he play, which again, I will be shocked if he does not. So I think that's going to be where I wrap things up for today. Tough game 4 loss, brutal loss, but you bounce back. It's now a 3-game series. You're more than likely getting your second best player back to combat a lot of the issues that this team has faced over the two losses that we've seen. And things are going to be okay. I'm not hitting the panic button just yet. If we have to talk about a Game 5 loss, then we'll hit the panic button. That'll be a bit terrifying. But getting Russell Westbrook back absolutely tips the odds in the favor of the Houston Rockets. And I'm excited to see what happens moving forward in this series. And hopefully getting Beard and Brody back on the court together at the same time, finally, in the playoffs, which is what we all wanted and what we were all anticipating and excited to see at the start of this season. So that's going to do it for this episode. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.